From the NCHC.TV studios, this is College Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. For lunch or before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other worldwide properties, an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Horn.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be listening to us tonight on the Podbean app. Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live. Scott Strandy with you tonight in St. Louis, Missouri. My co-host, as always, joining me from that big, beautiful palatial estate out on Long Island, New York. Paul, I think it's colder here in St. Louis than it is on Long Island tonight.
Yeah, I think it is. Do you have another co-host that I don't know about, by the way?
Just the one that lives in the big, beautiful palatial estate.
Well, yeah, who's that?
No, okay. I thought that was you.
No, that would be the opposite of me.
I have a funny joke to tell you. I just can't tell you on air, but I'll tell you after.
Leave the jokes to me, okay? I'm the funny one. Remember that. You're the straight man, which is harder, I admit, but you're the I'm the joke guy.
No, it has nothing to do with hockey. It's just got something to do with the palatial estate.
Yeah, okay. Who'd you send here now to try and find it?
No. Nothing like that. Just we found one in St. Louis today. I'll give
okay.
you the
Okay, well, that's fine.
Anyway, this has been a week of ACHA coverage for me. It culminated today with a W1, which is the Women's Division I Championship.
Right.
Paul, this hasn't happened in 14 years, that the M1 team champion and the W1 champion hailed from the same university. Do you know who they are that is hailing those trophies tonight?
That would be Adrian College.
Yeah, my goodness. Okay, let me set the stage for this, people. You people on the NCAA side of things, if you don't know about Adrian, shame on you, first of all, because you're not paying attention to quality college hockey. But this town is 5,000 people dripping wet. I mean, as many as you can pack in there, 5,000 people. I believe the university is 800 in the enrollment category. They have one ice sheet. Paul, as you know, they have five different teams playing. They've got an NCAA 3. They've got an NCAA women's team. They've got a M1 men's team and W1 women's team, an M2 men's team, and I believe an M3 men's team. All playing college hockey on one ice sheet. So don't anybody ever come to me and say, you can't do this. Not only have they done this, but they are winning championships, national championships. This was the first for the women. And Carter Clark, head coach, had a chance to visit with Carter today, yesterday and today. And what a job he's done in bringing the women's level up to par with the men's team. It was interesting, Paul. He told me that the women's team watched the men win on Tuesday night.
Right.
All of them. They're in the crowd.
Right.
And they celebrated with the men through the glass, basically, afterwards.
Well, yeah.
And I guess, rumor has it anyway, that the captain of the men's team spoke to the women's team. He said, hey, listen, the bumps and bruises are going to hurt a lot less if you win the championship.
Isn't
so just go
the
win
case?
The championship.
Isn't that always the case? And they, you know, they play what? They played the teams that weren't in the quote-unquote play-in? played three games, and you know, the two teams that were in the championship played three games in three nights.
Correct. And Minot State, by the way, was the combatant for Adrian in the women's tournament today.
And they played an extra game.
They played overtime all three games, and then a two overtime game last night that ended about 10:45 local time. They were back on the ice today playing the championship at 1 p.m., which is just slightly after noon for those that don't know. So, goodness gracious, what a job Carter Clark has done with that program. I also want to shout out Ryan Minor Green as well from Minot. He did an unbelievable job. They unseated Liberty last night in two overtimes. And
Which I believe they were five-time defending national champions, were they not?
They were.
Yeah.
And then that set up today. Minot has won the national championship before, but Adrian has never won it. Right. And it was a battle, and Adrian came out on top. And congratulations to the Adrian Bulldogs. I asked their goaltender today, Chloe Burt, I said, do you have any idea what Adrian's going to be like when you guys get back to town? She said no. She couldn't even fathom it, because there will be some sort of a celebration at Adrian College,
I'm sure,
in Adrian, Michigan, in the next couple of days. So congratulations to them. That's what I'm doing here in St. Louis. But I'm also here for another reason, Paul. It's an NCAA side of things.
Well, I mean, they have the regional coming up in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. And, you know, I think the odds are that one of the teams we cover will be there. Don't know which one yet. Might be two of them, but we'll see. You know, it was a great interview we had earlier in the week with Tim Ryan at the sports commission. And, you know, as they get ready for not just the regional this year, but the Frozen Four next year. And I know you were there checking out the arena and how it would play in a tournament situation. And, you know, we had a bunch of teams that you and Steven cover on the ACHA show. And so, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, and, you know, you try to be as efficient as you possibly can.
Okay. So let's air the grievances of people that were battering you on social media this time, not me. The Centene Community Ice Center is going to be the host of the regional.
Right.
I get it. It's only got about 3,000, room for 3,000 if you pack them in. I understand that.
Right.
Not the biggest venue in the world, no. But it is a venue in St. Louis where, as you've so aptly said, the gives them the opportunity to kind of do a dry run as they prepare for the Frozen Four next
right.
year. So
right.
there's the starter. Secondly right. is it gives them an opportunity to not only dry run, but it gives them to bring more college hockey to the Western U.S. St. Louis is in the West. And
ish.
Yeah, kind of ish. But when you look at the dividing line, the St. The Mississippi yeah. River puts yep, yep. Both Sioux Falls and St. Louis
yeah.
in the West.
Yeah.
So it's good for teams like Denver, Colorado College, Minnesota, North Ooh. Dakota, Omaha. Just go up and down the line. It's good for them.
Yeah.
And like I said, they deserve that. And people have been ballyhooing all over the place, including us a little bit, about, oh, they need to move them back to the regionals, back to the home sites,
yeah, I'm okay.
sites.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. You know, I have people that disagree with me.
I doubt that.
Well, they do. You know, I also have people that you know might agree with me on certain parts. They would agree that the regionals should be on campuses, but. I believe that the conference winners should be seeded one through however many conferences there are. And then the rest of the home teams go by the top at-large teams. But some people don't agree with that. But, you know, that's fine. you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, no matter how right or how wrong it might be.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well.
Anyway.
They don't have to agree with me, but they'd be wrong. But, you know, hey.
Anyway. So the 3,000-seat venue, it's not, and you and I had this discussion off air today, but it's not the 10,000 of the Denny Sanford Center in Sioux Falls. Now, that building was built for concerts and for other things. And there's also, oh, yeah, by the way, USHL team, it's pretty good and been around for a while. That plays in the Denny Sanford Center. So you can't come at St. Louis and say you can't host a regional because your building's too small, because the NCAA said it wasn't, right,
for starters. I agree with that. Yeah, well, that's...
So if they agreed that you could play it there, then you can play it there. So that's the starter. And the secondly is, you know, they don't have a USHL team here in St. Louis. And Lindenwood, the NCAA team of Lindenwood, now plays out of the Centene Community Center. The USA Arena is what it's officially called. And right. That is what's going on there. So they're the host. Omaha is the host in Sioux Falls. People say, why Omaha? Well, because Sioux Falls, the Augustana team, hadn't played yet.
That didn't
when
exist.
They were given that. Yeah, they did not exist. So anyway, that's the reason for that.
And of by course, the way, I
know you can't play regional sites in
on campus.
On campus, yeah.
They might change that, but at some point. But for now, you cannot. And I'm sorry, I'd rather see them play in front of a building. I'd rather see them play in front of a building of 2,500 fans that's packed than play in front, you know, in a 10,000 seat building that's only half full. I'm just, you know, the NCAA is not doing this to lose money. If they thought they were losing money, they probably wouldn't have done it. Unless they agreed. I mean, again, you know, I'd like to get a second crack after the conversations that we had today at Tim Ryan at the Sports Commission.
Well,
just to ask some of these questions.
You may get your wish. So
really? Okay. Be nice.
I'll reach out and ask. Anyway, I just want to get that point out there because, I mean, It is what it is. Just play the games. And you know what? Yep. The facility is beautiful. The locker rooms are beautiful. Lindenwood has a locker room that they're going to be able, one of the teams will be able to use, the number one seed. The number two seed will get the visiting locker room for NCAA play. And then there's multiple locker rooms on the other side of the ice surface that will go to the 3 and 4 teams. And if you ask the teams, Paul, I don't think they give a rip where their locker room is, as long as it's in the facility and they're there.
In the tournament.
Yep. So anyway, we'll get down to that. Let's talk about the teams that we cover that have now earned spots in the – and we can't say it officially because it isn't official until next Sunday night at this time.
Right.
But we can say that based on probabilities, there's two teams that are probably going to be number one seeds, that being the University of North Dakota and Denver University.
Yeah.
So this weekend was the first round, the quarterfinals of the NCHC on the way to the Frozen Faceoff, the postseason tournament. No surprise that North Dakota took care of business. I mean, we've talked about them all year and how good they are.
Right.
And they absolutely took care of business against Miami, did they not?
Yeah, I mean, they for lack of a better term, they grinded. They basically grinded Miami down. You know, it just you never Miami had a chance early on in Friday night's game. They killed off a 5-minute major and got some momentum and had a chance. But
wow, are you being generous? Because that game was 7-1, wasn't it?
It was 7-1 at the. But I'm just saying, early in the game, they had a chance to do some damage and maybe, you know, give themselves a shot to win, you know, a game. But it didn't materialize, and And, you know, eventually the North Dakota just wore them down in both games. I mean, you're sitting there and you know, on Friday night, they win 5-1. Saturday night, they win 7-1. You know, it just, like I said, the first half of the first game was close, or, you know, had a chance, you know, to make it a close series, but it just didn't happen for Miami.
You are being way too politically correct, because from the start of the season, North Dakota was the better team than Miami, and it
well,
was.
Well, we understand that. Listen,
the gap was widening as we got towards the tournament time.
I get that. I understand
Miami
that.
Had picked up the pace, but they really did not have a shot.
You know, they
playing that.
Well, listen, I there is no way. There's no way I would have quote bet on them.
Good for you.
I mean. I'm not even sure I would have bet on Miami to win a game, let alone win the series.
Yeah,
but if they were going to steal one, you know, usually the first game is the one you steal.
True, but that wasn't going to happen because North Dakota is too talented, too deep, and too well coached to let that happen.
Once they had that opportunity and squandered it,
they know where their place is in college hockey.
Stop it. Stop that. Let's stop it. I have respect for the program, but stop it. Now, no.
Are they not going to be a number one seed? Are they not going to be a number one seed? Yes,
yeah,
they
are, but let's not anoint them. I mean, I just know.
They know their place.
See, that's the arrogance that kind of that.
Well, that's, I mean.
Now you sounded like one of those people. Now you're sounding like somebody that roots for that other team next door. Stop it.
That's not arrogance if you've done it and proved it.
I don't care.
Continue to prove it.
You know, always be humble and kind. Always be humble and be gracious in victory. And hold your chin up in defeat. No, don't give me this nonsense.
Anyway, so North Dakota takes care of business. They punch the ticket to the Frozen Faceoff in St. Paul. Right. So we'll hear from the coaches on the Zoom.
Right.
The coaches interview on Tuesday. I'll be involved in that. And then we will see them on the ice Friday and Saturday. And we'll see the awards be handed out for the NCHC on Thursday. So a big week of hockey in St. Paul, Minnesota. Let's hope it's warmer than 40 degrees like it is here right now. And it's going down to 26 tonight, my friend.
Nice.
26 degrees. Do you know the last time I saw 26 degrees? I was a young man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, whatever. Ugh.
Anyway. So North Dakota has one ticket punched. They're arch enemies in the NCHC, if you will. The Denver Pioneers punched ticket number two with not quite as resounding a win on the weekend, but
I don't know.
They handled Minnesota Duluth fairly comfortably.
You know, Duluth was, you know, was they, I would say fairly comfortably is a apt description. It's probably a little more than that. As Duluth really had no offense this weekend. You know, it just, they've had some injuries and are missing some guys. And you know, you didn't, with the potential snow and the, you know, teams got there late and the talent gap was too big.
Wait a minute. You know something? I don't know. They got there late.
They didn't get there till Thursday.
They're
supposed to get there Wednesday.
Okay,
Get that extra day to kind of get used to the altitude and the atmosphere. And
every coach will tell you that doesn't. BS.
BS.
They're conference foes. They play there all the time.
I didn't say they don't know what to expect. That doesn't mean your body gets used to it in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well.
Okay. And
Duluth was dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, Denver was dominant, and Duluth was just kind of hanging on and they've kind of hung on all year. I'm sure Scott Sandlin will tell you the same. It was not a good year for UMD hockey.
No,
their season is over along with Miami's, and Denver punched the second ticket.
Yeah, and you know, depending on the outcome of tonight's game, I mean, Denver and North Dakota are likely to be number one seeds. I don't think there's any way that could change. I don't think Michigan State is high enough, even if they win next week or close enough, at least RPI-wise.
Also keep this in mind, Paul. Both of those teams, North Dakota and Denver, are going to play in the same ball.
No, I get that.
Well, Michigan
State, but they have two games to play. Two games to play. Michigan State has one.
Correct.
Michigan State's kind of...
Potentially two games. Potentially. Yeah. If you lose the first round of the Frozen Faceoff, then it's just one game.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think that Michigan State, with a win, can climb high enough to overtake North Dakota or Denver. But
so without giving out everything, that probably means that Denver will end up in St. Louis and North Dakota will end up in Sioux Falls.
Well, most likely, no matter how it turns out.
Yeah. So
because there is the possibility that North Dakota or Denver, either one, could be the number three overall seed, depending on how it turns out. In which case, you know, who is in the bracket with those teams might change a little bit. But as of right now, hard to see Michigan, like I said, hard to see, and I'm not the pairwise genius that you are.
No, I'm just the pairwise hater. I'm not the genius.
Well, that's, you know, that's, but... just based on who has who left and so forth and so on, I just don't, not sure if Michigan State can either, you know, is that number five overall team based on the pairwise. I don't see where they move up or down, even if they lose next week to Michigan in the Big Ten championship game.
Are you saying that Michigan's playing for the Big Ten championship and not Minnesota?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking. Shocking. Blasphemy. Shocking, shocking. Well, we thought it was going to be Ohio State for a while. Well, somebody did anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I kind of believe that was a possibility, but even they couldn't hand over the.
It was close for a while.
Yeah, it was close in the end. It was 2-1, wasn't it?
No. I believe that Michigan State beat Ohio State. That was a Saturday night game. No, that was Michigan and Minnesota was 2-1. Michigan State, actually, both games were 2-1, but it was two. And Ohio State had a goal overturned. So
there you go. See, so there you go. They were trying to give it to him, but
anyway. Trying.
Okay, so that leaves us with two games, and before we take the break, I want to kind of set this up because Western Michigan playing at St. Cloud, Omaha playing at Colorado College. The series are both tied going into tonight. Anyway, we're tied at a game apiece. Now, I want to jump over to the pairwise, Paul, as I'm currently looking at them. And this one's coming from the USCHO. Right now, this is where they have teams 11 to 14. And I think this is the caveat here, right? Because we're pretty sure now it's going to be two AQs, correct? 15 and 16?
Maybe.
Well, there's going to be two AQs.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, it might be three. Who knows?
Who's going to be the third?
Well, let's just, for argument's sake, and, you know, we can't sit here and not have arguments because it's what we do. All right. If you look at it, if you look at said pairwise, There's only one team from the ECAC that's in.
Okay.
And that would be Quinnipiac.
Okay.
Now, since Cornell is, you know, before the night started, was sitting at 15.
Still are.
You know, that means you're not getting in unless you win the conference tournament.
Right.
And right now, Cornell is going to play Team Tye, Dartmouth, in the semifinals of that conference tournament. And the top seed, Quinnipiac, is playing the long shot of the tournament so far in St. Lawrence in the semifinals next Friday night at the 1980 Olympic Arena up in Lake Placid.
Okay, so let's set the table for this. Quinnipiac would have to be ousted.
Correct.
And they'll still be in. And that would still mean be in. Anyone else would, right. that wins that tournament would get that one. So, yeah, correct. You're right. There could be. So you really want to be 12 to be comfortable. Okay.
No, you have to be 13. Well,
how?
Well, how? I mean, I guess. Well, because if you the CCHA is only getting one team.
Okay.
That's 16, one of the AQs.
16, 15, 14
right.
is what we're thinking could possibly be AQs. So correct. Let me ask you this. As we look at the pairwise right now, and this includes, I'm sure, the upset. Well, not the upset, but St. Cloud State beat Western Michigan. It's strange because St. Cloud State was playing at home because of right. their record in the NCHC, but yet currently they are number 17 in the pairwise, and
right.
Western Michigan is number 14. Right. So as we look at this right
those
now,
teams are out right now.
For teams that we're concerned of, here's what we're looking at.
Those teams are out.
Okay, currently.
Currently. Well, Omaha? Western is definitely out.
Omaha,
well, no, they're not.
No. Okay, Omaha has moved up to 11.
Right.
Colorado College is 12. So
right.
let's play that game.
Okay.
If Colorado College wins, do they just
right.
trade spots? Do they
jump? If Colorado College wins, I believe they move up to 11, and Omaha so drops just, to.
Okay, so they'll take Omaha's spot, current spot.
And Omaha would drop down to 14.
Okay. But
and they would be
College,
the one on the cut line.
Colorado College could not jump Michigan, you're saying?
Not with just tonight. I don't, okay. And I also don't, not sure there's a way for them to do it, even if they win out.
Okay, so
I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
If Omaha wins,
right,
they stay at 11. How far does Colorado College drop?
They drop to 14, and they become the team on the cut line.
So Western Michigan right now is the team that's going to gain the most, no matter who wins or loses this game. It's through two periods.
Well. It kind of seems
Western
that way.
Is Western going to move up no matter who wins?
Omaha
and Colorado College?
Yeah, kind of looks that way.
Okay. And then Western Michigan is done playing, though.
Yes.
So if Omaha or Colorado College goes to one of them will
yes.
go to the Frozen Faceoff and get a chance to play. If they come away with a win or two wins, see what I'm saying? It's going
to
be
I'm just
really
worried about
dicey.
I'm just trying to get through tonight. I can't even I worry about next week.
But St. Cloud did all they could. Is there
correct.
A way for St. Cloud to now go to the Frozen Faceoff and do some damage and climb the ladder, or is it just
well, they have
a little
to.
Too late?
They have to. They have to get an AQ. They have to win out.
So they have to win it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
At least I'm 99% sure that they have to win it.
Okay.
To get in.
So that would be a really interesting scenario in St. Paul, Minnesota this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Stay
yeah.
tuned, folks, because they are going to be fighting for their lives as they were this weekend.
That group from 11 to 17 is really tightly bunched.
So,
but Providence is done.
Can anybody unseat UMass? That's what I want to know.
Could they?
Yeah. I mean, again, if UMass loses, as we suspect they will, in their next game, they'll be done.
It's that close. I mean, that is, again, if I read it correctly. I don't know. I can't, without putting in all the combinations, I don't know. But they can't be.
I'm just asking for just a rough opinion what you're looking at, because the way I see this, Paul.
I don't think they can be too confident of getting in UMass without winning, at least on Friday night.
Right. And I see the scenario this way. I see Omaha, Colorado College, and Western all getting in. I think the battle for the last spot is going to come down to Cornell and UMass. And maybe St. Cloud if they are in the AQ.
Well, but again, it's really all dependent. The ECAC, like I said, is getting one bid unless Quinnipiac loses that tournament.
Yep.
Okay.
But even if they do, Paul, that only gives 14, 15, and 16 the AQs, which means 1 through 13 is in.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, okay. You want to make sure you're at least at theoretically. Let's see. Or at least, yeah. Well, B, U, B, C, Maine, they're all in no matter what.
I think all the way down to 10 is a lock.
Well, yeah. I mean, that we're pretty sure of at this
point.
But
here's my question to you: is if Omaha, Colorado College, and Western Michigan sit 11, 12, 13, I think they can bump UMass down and possibly out.
And well, is that possible? Once again, I don't know how much losing to BC on Friday night, on next Friday night, will bump them down.
Doesn't have to bump them down much. They're pretty close.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Again, but that's what I'm talking about. It is so tight from 11 all the way down to 17. And I'm not sure what the combinations would be for certain teams to move up to 13 or certain teams to move down below 13.
Yeah, so I know. And I guess I'm kind of looking for our teams and the NCHC teams for lack
well,
of a better
listen,
term,
if you are,
that's what we cover.
Let's put it this way.
It appears North Dakota and Denver are locks, and it looks like Omaha.
Oh, no. Well, Colorado, no, listen, North Dakota and Denver are locks. That's easy.
But I think Omaha, Colorado College, and Western are going to get in. I think UMass is going to be the unlucky one and get pushed out.
Yeah, you hope so.
And I believe also that St. Cloud has that last AQ spot. That could make 4 AQs if they win because
again,
they're not in. Unless
no, but this is what that's my point. You want to make sure. I don't expect there to be an upset. I don't expect UMass to beat both. Well, I mean, they could take both BC or BU. I mean, I haven't seen as much of Maine as I've seen of those two schools. So I can't give you a 100% honest opinion about Maine. But they are 23-10.
Well, I think the big thing is if you're Colorado College, Omaha, Western, you would like to see Massachusetts, UMass out early, like next weekend, next Friday.
Yeah, you
night.
Want to see UMass lose right away, and you want no upsets in the ECAC.
Yep.
Because theoretically, you could have the cut line be 12, but more than likely, because Quinnipiac has been so dominant in that conference, but you can never count out Cornell.
No. And Western Michigan would certainly hope that St. Cloud doesn't do more damage to them like they did this weekend and win the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, because if they do, St. Cloud could take, well, would take
the would take another spot from the at-larges.
Move Western out. And again, it's going to, that's why I'm curious on what happens tonight in this last game. So Western Michigan loses Friday night. They win Saturday night. They lose pretty badly tonight, a 5-1 game at St. Cloud.
Yeah, it was not, they weren't really the other games were, the Friday and Saturday games were pretty good. At least for a while, both teams kind of had their night. But the scores were look lopsided, but the games really were not as lopsided as the scores. But again, both teams had their moment, and tonight it was all St. Cloud. It was really not a close matchup, not a close game at all.
Okay, well, the third period just started at Ed Robeson Arena in Colorado College with Omaha and Colorado College tied 1-1. So before we go to break, who needs this one more, Paul? Omaha or Colorado College?
I think this is do or die for both teams. I don't – just based on what happens, at least theoretically in the pairwise, the loser of this game drops down to 14. Or theoretically, you know, based on playing around with the numbers, which you can do.
So would
the question that is not a comfortable position to be in.
Would UMass, if they fall out, would that move either Omaha or Colorado College, whoever loses this series, would that move them up to 13?
I don't know. Well, let's just say 14 is not a comfortable position to be in right now.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's talk more about this Colorado College Omaha series and other things that may exist out there in the world, NCAA college hockey. We'll be right back.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie, score!
Kale McCarr, he scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness!
CollegeHockeyInc.com and follow at College Hockey.
From the Summer Skate Studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcast's College Hockey West Live.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live. Scott Strandy with you tonight from beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. I'm lying. It is cold. It is miserable.
It's still nice there. It's just not tonight.
Yeah, definitely not tonight. It is. it's man, that north wind. I was just saying today, that if you live anywhere in the Midwest, you're always going to feel a cold Northwest draft anytime that opens up from Canada. All right. So my co-host, as you can hear him groaning from Long Island, New York, where it's a balmy 70 probably today, right?
No, it wasn't 70, but it was nicer than it was supposed to be. Originally, it was supposed to rain most of today, but it didn't. So,
okay. So anyway, what's happening at Ed Robeson Arena is period three is underway. It is 1-1 deadlock between Omaha and the Colorado College Tigers.
No. Stop it.
So, yeah.
Stop anyway. It.
You, Peter been a Wessel,
very weird series.
You heard that, right?
What?
Did you hear that?
What?
Peter Menino, he likes when I say Tigers. Yeah, he hears it, and he says, I like it.
No, I don't care what he says.
Peter, he doesn't care what he doesn't care. Anyway, so we talked about the number of scenarios. When I looked at it, and I've stared at the pairwise way too much over the last month, when I saw it again today, I said a couple of things. I said, it looks to me very much like Colorado College, Omaha, Western Michigan are going to get in, which would make five NCHC teams, which would make the Big Ten. Or what have you heard that called?
Apparently, it's the Little Six plus one or something like that. I don't know who the plus one is. I don't know if that's Notre Dame or what have you. But
anyway,
I kind of like it. But
yeah, I figured you would. But anyway, it looks like that's the way things are going to play out. I just don't see UMass being able to hold on because I don't think they get by their first
again.
Game
I don't
Friday
know.
Night.
Again, I don't think they will either. But if they do,
yeah, if they do. But I think we can say Providence is out.
Yeah, no, they're done. Providence
Cornell would have to win their tournament to be in.
Yeah, I think so. Again,
and St. Cloud would have to win their tournament to be in.
Yes.
And New Hampshire's out. And Northeastern is out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Paul.
Yeah.
At number 19, tied for 19th or 20th in the pairwise, is a team with a 24-8-6 mark. The fifth best winning percentage in all of college hockey, along with the team RIT. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Currently, still alive, by neither the way. One of those teams are going to be in the tournament currently. RIT, as you mentioned, is still alive, but again, this craziness of a 24-8-6 team with the fifth best winning percentage out of the 64 teams that play NCAA Division I hockey are not in. To me, that tells you that there's something still wrong with the system. I like the fact that when you look through, let's see, actually every team up to number 14 or what typically might be 15 Cornell right now, every team is at least 20 wins. I think that's a must. I think you have to have 20 wins. Sorry, Providence, you can't get in with 18. Cornell, you're going to have to win 20 before you deserve to be in. St. Cloud, sorry, guys. I'm glad that you're in the frozen face-off. It's going to be fun seeing you. But you have a 17-15-5 mark. That's just not good enough to me.
Well, if you win the conference tournament, you get the AQ.
I understand the AQ part of it. I understand the AQ part of it. But New Hampshire, they got 20 wins. They would be justified in my system. Northeastern, you're not. 17-16-3, no chance. But you're looking at Arizona State and RIT, 24-8-6 and 26-10-2 respectively. And they're sitting at 19-20 or 20-21, however you want to look at it. Come on. And this is not about, again, standing on a soapbox for Arizona State. It's about the independents getting an opportunity. That's it. It's just opportunities. If they get in as a 16 seed and they get booted out right away, so be it. But they deserve something to play for. And right now, as I've said for about 6 months, The independents do not have anything to play for because their chances of getting in a tournament, okay, if you lose more than three games this year, you're done. You might as well call your season because you can't go to play for the Big Apple, the big trophy.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, we
that's true, right?
We know that
if you lose more than three games, you're pretty much your opportunity to go as an independent is done.
It seems that way anyway.
Seems Arizona State only lost eight times.
Yeah, no, they're not even
sniffing it.
I get it.
Talking about them right now, we should be.
I'm sure we will all off season long. But
anyway, so the pairwise and people say, "Oh, well, it has its way of working it out." It does, except for the independents.
Again,
you've seen the volatility, Paul, between Colorado College, Omaha, Western Michigan, St. Cloud. You've seen them jump up and down based on wins on one night, losses on the next night.
Yeah, I know.
So when you see that, and by the way, Omaha's just taken a 2-1 lead.
Yeah. Well, somebody on CC lost contain, and Brock Bremer skated right down the middle of the ice and beat Embarico, you know, on a one-timer as he got a pass basically in the high slot. Hard not to score from there. When you have a wide open uncontested shot,
so now
just like Omaha's first goal, and they've been the much better team really since that first goal to tied it up at one. They got a turnover at the goal line, Jimmy Glenn was behind three defenders and found himself with a puck and poked at home. So
I'm not going to write them off yet, but
no, listen, it's still 13 minutes to go
in Colorado College.
It's a one shot game.
Paul, I know, but in Colorado College's case, Paul, should they lose this and should they not get into the frozen faceoff or not get into the national tournament?
Right.
How will that be looked at in the eyes of not only Chris Mayotte, Peter Menino, John Legit?
Well, they'll be disappointed, of course.
Ogilvy, go down the list.
They'll be disappointed.
It would be disappointment, but would it be look like we didn't get the job done? Or would it be look like, hey, look at our year as a whole. We won 21 games.
It would be both.
Okay.
Right?
That's what I was getting at. Would it be both or would it be?
Because initially you're going to be like frustrated because you had it in your hands and you let it slip through your fingers. Because the first two nights, they were the dominant team. I mean, they most of the first two games were spent in the Omaha end. Now, CC only won one game, and it took coming back from a three-goal deficit to win that first game in overtime. But, they never led last night, even though, again, most of that game was spent in the Omaha end. Okay? They just capitalized on the very few chances that they had. Now, so at that point, it would be very frustrating for CC because, like I said, they had it in their grasp. Okay, and then later when they take a look at it, and be like, okay, well, this is where we were 3 years ago, and now we're frustrated because we had a chance to do it. And didn't get it done, where the thought of getting it done was the furthest thing, right, when they took over.
Maybe not the thought of getting it done, but the opportunity to get it done.
That
was the furthest.
Because, this is a three-year, this is year number three out there.
Correct.
For Mayotte and company, and to be this close, considering where they came from. They're not going to like it tonight if they lose, but in July, you rationalize things and go from there. I mean, even if they lose tonight, they're not out of it. But man, are they going to be sweating next weekend?
So, let's try to put this into perspective. Let's just play that scenario that they don't come back and they don't win and they don't go to the frozen faceoff. Is it going to be as much sweating as Fairbanks went through last year, or is it going to be
maybe
a little less?
No, maybe more.
Okay. Because, see, I don't think so. Because I think that...
Because if they lose tonight, I'm you know, if I'm accurate with playing around with it, they'll be 14th in the pairwise.
But I think
and that
Massachusetts,
would,
I think UMass would be ahead of them, but they're going to fall behind them.
Well, we don't. Again, I haven't gotten that far.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you, the scenario that I see is UMass has an uphill battle. They're not going to get by BC and BU to climb anymore. I think they're done Friday night, and they're going to have to sit and wait. And then I think the big thing comes down to the St. Cloud State Huskies, because once they're eliminated from the Frozen Faceoff, if they are eliminated, then I think that opens the door for Colorado College to sneak back in.
Well, again, right, you have to wait and see. You have to wait and see. So, I mean, if Omaha wins this game, and obviously it's isolated, and UMass loses to BC, they would be very, 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 and this was with no other games in the mix, very slightly behind. They'd be tied in PCWs, and CC would be .0001 in the RPI ahead of UMass.
Boy, have we ever heard that number before? Anyway, so we look at that mess, but let me ask you this then. Let's say Omaha wins. They come in right now, they're 11. They're certainly not going down, so they're going to be at 11. And Western Michigan can't play anymore.
Well, if Omaha wins, they move up to 11. I would think that they'd be 11. Pretty close. Yeah, well, other teams, yeah. Well, it depends on the order, but yeah.
Well, right now they're showing them as 11, and 12 is Colorado College, and you just said Colorado College and moved to 14.
So Omaha's at 11. Omaha's at 11. Western goes to 13.
Okay, and they can't play anymore. So let's say that Omaha goes to the Frozen Faceoff and gets a win.
Right.
And let's say North Dakota wins.
Right.
And so then we're looking at you're looking at a scenario where does that help Colorado College based on who wins at the Frozen Faceoff?
Listen, I guess any time North Dakota wins, it helps CC. Since they went 4-0 against North Dakota, which is kind of weird because in North Dakota has 10 losses on the season. 7 of those 10 are to CC and Omaha.
Crazy.
7 of those 10 are to CC and
Omaha. They don't want to play either one of those teams, do they?
They probably don't. Again, you know, styles make fights and, you know, the North Dakota lost one game to the other maroon and gold team. They lost a game at BU. And they lost a game at Denver. Those are the other three that were not to CC in Omaha, which is just bizarre.
And I would think if they feel like if they played CC that the odds would tell them that they're going to win game 5. That's how I would think they would look at it.
You know, still, Omaha's beaten you 3 out of 4 times. So pick your poison, I guess.
Yeah.
And again, the difference is, what's the biggest the biggest check mark in favor of either CC or Omaha, as far as we're concerned, at least as I'm concerned, the biggest check mark that favors those two schools? And I'm not trying to disrespect Ludwig Persson.
Yep.
I think that...
You know the goaltenders.
The goaltenders in Embarico and Lacozzi are better. And, you know, have done it on big stages. And so that's their advantage. But, I mean, that not to take anything away... I'm not going to sit here and tell them I'm going to... tell Bill Foley to put my mortgage on Omaha or CC winning.
Well, anyway, my scenario, I think this. I think that Omaha, I think when it all washes out next Sunday, I think Omaha and Colorado College will be in. I think UMass will be out, and I think Western will be on the border because they're not going to get a chance to play either, and currently they're behind Colorado College. So unless they climb them, if Colorado College should lose, then I see Omaha and Colorado College getting in, and that would mean that that we would have four.
One of these three teams between Omaha, CC, and Western is going to be squarely on that cut line.
Yep,
totally. It's just a matter of who and whether or not the cut line moves up.
Totally agree with you, my friend. Totally agree with you. Okay, so BU, BC look to be number one and two in the pairwise, and that doesn't look to change no matter what happens here on out, correct?
Yeah, that'd be – I can't even – the numbers are just too skewed.
Yep, and I think North Dakota and Denver hold down the other spots based on the fact that they're tied for third right now.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who would be three and who would be four.
Yeah, I mean, it does not look like Michigan State can catch them any way, shape, or form.
No.
Even if they win the Big Ten tournament, that's not possible. And Maine's not catching them. So you're looking at the two seeds right now would be Michigan State, Maine, Quinnipiac, and Minnesota. And I don't think that will change either. The order could change.
No,
but
because
those four teams will be in there.
Because I don't think Michigan, even if they win next week, can move up past Wisconsin or the other Maroon and Gold team. So those twos are pretty much set too.
Okay, so that puts you into the three scenario. Right now we're looking at Wisconsin, Michigan, Omaha, and Colorado College as they sit right now.
Correct.
Then the fours would be, as they sit right now, UMass, and
your boys in Kalamazoo.
AQs. Yeah, Western, and then the two AQs.
Correct.
Assuming there's no upsets to get like three or four AQs, which would be crazy.
Well, yeah.
So the way you
because
look
that
at it
means
right now,
because that means Quinnipiac will have lost their conference tournament.
Yep.
And that would have meant that BC, well, that UMass would have won Hockey East.
Yep. Not happening.
So that's the only way that it would be four AQs jumping up.
Yep. So on those two AQs, who do you think? Just what's your gut tell you? RIT, are they good enough to get this done?
Yeah.
Holy Cross is done now, right? Holy Cross lost today?
Yes, they did. They lost to AIC.
So it's AIC and RIT. This is the alphabet.
Correct.
Alphabet, yep. Going at each other.
Yeah, I mean, I expect RIT to win that game, but never count out AIC because they're just, you know, they're too well coached. Yeah, no, I get it.
So anyway, I think we can say goodbye officially to Providence.
Yes.
To New Hampshire.
Yes.
Northeastern.
Yes.
Arizona State?
Yes.
Notre Dame?
Yes.
Okay, I don't need to go any farther. So that would leave teams that are still battling, RIT, St. Cloud, Cornell.
RIT's got to win to get in. They have to win one. They're winning. They're basically starting the NCAA tournament for themselves next weekend.
Exactly. And same thing with Cornell.
Yeah, Cornell. I think Cornell has to win. Has to win too to get. I would imagine based on the way I look at the numbers, but that doesn't mean I'm right.
Are you ever wrong?
Well, that's true.
Very okay. True. All right. So I think we spelled that out pretty well. I'm going to get back to watching this game at Ed Robeson Arena and see what happens, and maybe shake my black and gold pom poms, and
well,
then
you
we'll
do
talk
that all
about
the time
things
anyway.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, there's 5 minutes left, and Omaha's leading 2-1, and, you know, we'll be talking about it tomorrow, whether, you know, guest or no guest.
Yep. And we're working on that. All right, take it away, my friend.
From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Live on the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network has been brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos worldwide. It's where the action is, in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. For the NCHC and NCHC.TV, subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group. Search T Grand Rudd on redbubble.com and let us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app where available, but please play responsibly. By FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. And by Liberty University, over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice, strengthen your faith and your game at our state-of-the-art campus. See us at liberty.edu. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app and available with all of our weekly podcasts for download at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows, or just tell a friend to help others find the podcast. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
All right, very well done, my friend. We'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemaker's De Niro. Good night, everybody.
Good night.